This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
All right. So the theme of this panel discussion is bearing the yoke in the days of your youth and cultivating covenant friendship. Now, having said that, I will take the scripture where that comes from. Lamentations chapter 3. From verse 24, it says, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him." 25, "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him." Okay, let me just take it from NLT over here. It says, "I say to myself," this is verse 24, "The Lord is my inheritance, therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. So it is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord." Verse 27 now says, "And it is good for people to submit at an early age to the yoke of his discipline. Let them sit alone in silence beneath the Lord's demand." Hallelujah. So it says, bearing the yoke in the days of your youth. One of the very common words that we use at this point in our lives, when you are marriageable and when you are single, is that word youth. And there is a lot of things about youth. From me, where I come from, there is a way we see youth. You must, in one of the, when you hear youth, just know evangelism. So I will throw this to Pastor Femi. What exactly does the word youth mean? Is it a thing of age? You know, when they were talking, Daddy was talking about Timothy earlier. And he was talking about, okay, there's that, what's the certain age? Is it just about age? Is it about maybe when I marry, I stop becoming a youth? You know, you now say those are the youths. We are the married brethren. What exactly is it about jumping up and down? What exactly does it mean? Bible, there are a lot of scripture that talks about youths. What exactly does that word, you know, imply? Youths. Pastor Femi.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much, Pastor Dayo, and thank you for the opportunity to be, you know, on this panel. I think that question, I'll attempt to answer it, combing from both the teachings we've had prior and also the emphasis that has been present in the house today when it comes to being a youth, you know, right? One thing I picked when Mama was ministering earlier in the morning, you know, she also referred to being a youth. And one word she used is the face of your youth. So it became more evident to me that when we say a youth, in scriptures, you will see when scriptures will refer to certain people as maybe when you're a child. Another time, say when you're a youth or young men. And that's time they'll say fathers. So it is clear that they are different estates, right? So is being a youth really an age thing? I know sometimes, especially when we're having certain meetings, daddy has also given certain age ranges, right? But with a caveat that even when you are beneath that age or above that age, it does not still mean that you are out of the allocation that is supposed to be supplied to such a meeting. And what I'm attempting to say is this, right? Every time of a man's life is a blessing and a gift, right? There's a reason why when we are created, God didn't just drop a man child, and God ordained that even biologically, you grow from being a babe, right, to a child. We also saw that in the life of Jesus, you know, until when he was 12, when he was 30. There's a reason for those developments. And the reason of those developments, and tying it down to that question, is because the season or the time or calling somebody a youth speaks to the days of strength, right? There is as much strength as you can allude to someone who is a child, right? And even when you're looking at it biologically, the reason why, you know, I so much was blessed when Mama mentioned that word face is because the face of a man's life being a youth is a gift. Being a youth is not really a season, as it were, if we are to separate those words the way they are. Because there are certain things God can seek to want to achieve in a man. If God is unable to get it done when you're a child or when you're a youth, he can do it even when you are a father, biologically speaking. For example, if God wants to break a man and wants to administer brokenness, if they're unable to get you in these days when you are a youth, God knows how to still arrange that thing even when you have become much more elderly. It's a season. But when it comes to you being a youth, you cannot be a youth as it were twice. They are biologically, when you give birth to a child, irrespective of where that child is, maybe you give birth to the child in Nigeria or you give birth to the child in White House, every child have what is peculiar to them as a child. For example, as they begin to grow, they begin to experience puberty. Puberty in White House is the same puberty you experience in Oshodi. The traits are the same thing, not so, right? And then a season comes, they begin to grow into that state of puberty and begin to go into another state where they go past puberty. The same way, but there is something that would have been administered to such a person when you were a child. You know, it's possible that your childhood is stolen. It's possible you see some men or some women, they are 40, 50, but they never really had a childhood. So that person can give birth to a child, but cannot relate to what it means to be a child. When you see that a man beat a child to death, you don't be surprised. It's evil spirit. Sometimes because he never even really understood what it means to be a child. That phase of his life was stolen. Maybe since when he was 2, he was 3, they laid the responsibility of taking care of the younger one. So he never really could relate. And that thing becomes something dysfunctional. He's a man, but that man did not have a child in him. The same way, tying it to your question, as a youth, there is a blessing God wants to, for example, as a child, you should train up a child in the way that he should go. It's a blessing that a child should get when he's a child. That phase called a youth is also a phase that if one does not really, you know, fully understand that it is a phase that can pass you. Like one of the blessings we see, you know, from the teachings we've had today from scriptures is that the days of one's youth is the days when you use your strength to remember the Lord. Remember the Lord in the days of your youth. It means there are certain remembrances or certain things in the Lord that if you don't trap in that phase, by the time you graduate away from that phase, you are now a man, so to speak. But that your man did not enjoy the blessing of what you should enjoy in the days of your strength. So being a youth really is the days of your strength. You know, Daddy was saying in the days of your youth, you must use your youth to learn the word of God. One of those things you'll find in the days of your youth, they said concerning Timothy, he used both his childhood and his youth to learn the Holy Scriptures. Those are things that when you go through that phase of a youth and you have gone past that phase, for God to be able to walk into that certain sovereignty of God, it's not just a season where they want to walk meekness. There are certain things, the days of your strength, you ought to use it to trap. That once you're unable to trap it, it will become much more difficult. So the days of one's youth or being a youth is the days of one's strength. Now, when you go past that age, you can be youthful. All right? You can be 50 and still be youthful. But really, by the age of 50, there's an expectation, you know, the way God has ordained it, you know, for what that another bracket of life again is supposed to trap. So I just...
Wow, thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much, sir. These are very apt thoughts. But let me just share a thought that came to my heart. In my heart, I was looking at someone like Methuselah. He was now 169 years. So if you are saying youth is 30 to 40, for Methuselah, when was his youth? This is Selah. Let's be thinking about it. Okay, you want?
Hallelujah. Okay, like you said, youth is not just by age, like you said. It's not by age. Like Pastor Femi has said, it's the time of your strength. It's time of your strength. So you can be 80, you can be 70, but you can still be a youth. Youth is from within. From within. And it also has to do with your mind. It has to do with also coming into a revelation in your spirit, in your soul. You have to be intentional of it. You know, sometimes you can tell yourself, by the reason of how your body is behaving, and you can tell yourself, I'm getting old. But actually, you are not getting old. Actually, you are not getting old because your body should not control you. Your body should not determine you. You determine your body. You determine your body. So youthfulness is a time of strength, your season of strength, your season of strength. So you can be 80, 60, 100, and you can still be a youth. It's a thing of the heart. You must consciously tell yourself that I'm getting young. I'm getting young. I'm getting young. I'm getting young. So it's a time of your strength. It's a time where you tell yourself within that, come on, I'm not getting old. I'm getting young.
Thank you so much, Daddy. Hallelujah. So I'm throwing this, Daddy.
Okay. The best place to get answer is to look at the scripture. Youth, normally, the nation of the world are divine youth. As at a particular age, I think maybe they are live on youth to be up to 40. They call mid-age at 50. But we know that Bible refers to youth. At least, there are many scriptures, but one of the two scriptures that stands out for me is Job chapter 29 and Psalm 110. Psalm 110, in God's concept, when God think about youth, God is thinking about the money phase. The money. So when God talk about youth, God think about money. The money time. When a man is so, a man is in his money. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness. From the womb of the morning, they put semicolon. What do you explain from the morning? Thy are the dew of thy youth. So whenever you hear the word youth, this what God read to youth is that a soul that is in the money phase. And you know that God's concept of money is not 6 a.m. Sometimes starts as early as 12 a.m. the morning. 1 a.m. the morning. It is so. Money, you say so, you become a youth when you are beginning to become enlightened. When the soul is coming to lighten, you say it's becoming youthful. When you are a child, you are not enlightened. When you say, I could not speak unto you as unto kind of what as a man. In understanding, be ye men. We say young men. So youth means a time of enlightenment. You are coming to light. You are coming to morning. You are arrived. The soul is arriving at the morning phase. So youth means morning. That is Psalm 110. Then Job, that I told you, book of Job 29, you also see. So how did Job render youth in 29? Verse 2 say, oh, that I were as in month past, as in the day. Take note of this. It's a month past. So the month, yes, no, it was just a few months ago. So, but this is a man that is talking and he has children and he has sons. And some of them, even one of the sons even have wife and children. That the when the devil came to, you know what happened? All that I was in as man passed, as in the days when God preserved me. When his candle, can you say light, shine upon my head, and when by his light I walk through darkness. As I was, it was in man past, in the days of my youth. So youth have to do with when you have light. They say, man's okay, oh my auntie balaga in Yoruba. That means it's arriving at his youth. You see, there's a way you started dressing. So youth is not physical age. A boy can be 25, it's not at youth physically. And a girl can be 12, it's already at youth. It's light. Enlightening. He has arrived at the morning face, light upon his heart.
Thank you so much, Daddy.
You're welcome.
So we'll push further. I saw some things in scripture. There is a man called Jetha, but I think that was son of Gideon. And he got to the battlefront. They said, oh yeah, kill those two kings. And he said he could not slew them. He said, for he was a youth. But when you get to, you see someone like David. David got to the battlefront.
Yes, I saw Mary.
And they were despising him. They say, for he's a youth. You know, he said, and he said unto Jetha his firstborn, up and slay them. But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared, because he was yet a youth. And you will see David. He said, the Philistines despised him, because he was ruddy and he was a youth. Two different persons, but they say youth. So are there things that make for a difference? That scripture in Lamentation says, it is good that you bear the yoke in the days of thy youth. So one look at that issue of yoke. What is this, the yoke? When you are talking strength, you are talking light, and it now looks as if you are talking yoke. It looks like they are not together. Mama Kara, I think you should open that thought of yoke.
Amen. Thank you so much for the opportunity of being here. I've been so blessed, you know, so far. I think I'll just probably, you know, pick up from something PFM said when he was speaking about how, you know, different stages in life, you know, let me say different stages of our growth, even naturally, right? God has designed different things that we should be doing in those seasons. You know, and that scripture, you know, as a baby, you know, Jesus also, we saw his life being calibrated, and we saw that at 12, he was already about his father's business. That was a man whose natural growth was in sync with his spiritual growth. It means that our children, when they are 12, we need to be hearing things about the father's business. In the season of our youth as well, right, there's an expectation of heaven. I'm saying youth from a place of, you know, young strength and light, as Daddy has also shed some light on it. And that Lamentation, if you go to Lamentation chapter 3, the Lord is good to those who wait hopefully and expectantly for him, to those who seek him, in bracket, inquire of and of him, and require him by right of necessity and on the authority of God's word. 26, it is good that one should hope in and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And 27, it says that it is good for a man that he should bear the yoke of divine disciplinary dealings in his youth. It says, let him sit alone, uncomplaining, and keeping silent, in bracket, in hope, because God has laid the yoke upon him for his benefit. 26 and 27, there was one phrase that was common to them, which is what? It is good. So if scripture says it is good, you say it is good for a man that he should bear the yoke in the days of his youth. So it means that any man that will really do the will of God will need to bear the yoke. But the scripture is now saying that it is good that you bear this yoke when you are young, in the days of your youth. So you will still have to bear the yoke if you will do the will of God. If you would partake, if you have any part in him, you will need to bear this yoke. And Amplified called the yoke, you know, a curriculum of divine disciplinary dealings. So scripture is saying that whether you are, maybe it's when you are young, or as long as you want to do the will, you want to have a part in him, you would bear the yoke. But he's saying that it is better, it is good that you bear this yoke in the days of your youth. coming back to the question, right? The yoke is like a curriculum that God lays upon a man. It is like the wheel of the book, the yoke. And another way I see yoke, apart from being, you know, the curriculum of God demands, God leadings, he says godly discipline, right, is a way of slowing you down. Because every man is racing into corruption. Abraham was speaking about his father. He said, a Syrian, he was already ready to perish. The only thing that can prevent such a man from not perishing is the yoke. That the yoke be laid upon Abraham, that in the days of his own youth as well, he could bear that yoke and he would not perish like every man perishes. Sometimes the yoke might seem like he's slowing you down. Devil also has a way of taking the strength of the youth. It's not only God that wants your strength as a youth. The devil also has yokes, yokes of bondage that he places over the young people, right? And I think it's in Galatians where he was speaking about the yoke of bondage, either Galatians 4 or 5. Yes, Galatians 5 verse 1. He says that, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So it means that Satan himself has yoke that is placing upon us as young people, as youths. I believe that everybody in this room is a youth, you know. And I just feel like, you know, the devil also has a yoke that he's going to place upon us. But the only way that we would escape this yoke is by being yoked of the Lord, bearing the yoke in the days of our flesh. Okay, I also said here that, you know, bear your yoke in the days of your youth is a time when you overcome. Scripture says in 1 John 5, I know, you know, that scripture, you know, is a time where we overcome the wicked one. It's a time where the word of God dwells richly in us. 1 John 2, yeah. It says, I write unto you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men because you have overcome the wicked one. So he was specifically writing to young men and saying that you have overcome the wicked one. That means there's an expectation of young men to overcome. The world should not overcome you. In your youth, you should be overcoming the wicked one. That's the prescription for that age, you know, of life. Verse 14, I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. So I just see also that when you are young, as a young man, one thing that must be priority to you is having the word of God. The word of God, the very word of God abiding in you and overcoming the wicked one. You know, and one thing, God also likes to use people, right, in the days of their youth. Scripture says, remember your creator in the days of your youth, when evil days have come not. If you have not remembered your creator in the days of your youth, when evil day come, you will not have answer to give evil day, because you have not remembered the Lord in the days of you. And that remembering the Lord is taking the yoke of the Lord. It might seem like that yoke is slowing you down. It might seem like the yoke is not allowing you to go in the way that, the way of all flesh. That disciplinary action, they say, is for our benefit. We cannot have part in him if we don't have part in his yoke. If you are not yoked with his yoke, his dealings, because Jesus also bore his yoke in the days of his flesh. Jesus bore his yoke. And he was in his youth. The entire days of Jesus' sojourn on earth was in his youth. He bore his yoke in his days. At different points, we saw, you know, scripture referring to the life of Jesus. And, you know, I think in Galatians as well, he spoke about how Jesus was, you know, was born under the law, made of a woman. We don't know what happened so much between 12 and 30. But I know that for him to have gotten to where he got to in God, he must have borne the yoke in the days of his flesh, right? So I'm just saying that, you know, the Lord likes to use people when they are young. We see people like David, we see Joseph, you know, we see Daniel. We might say, okay, what are people like maybe Moses, you know, that was 80. In fact, the Lord even told Joshua that you are old and stricken in years, but there are yet many lands for you to take. But he says, God acknowledged that someone can be old and stricken in years, right? So I'm just saying that even Moses, it was in the days of his youth that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. So you might feel like he started ministry at 80, but he has been keeping some commandments in the days of it. You know, the yoke is a commandment. The yoke is a commandment. When you are bearing the yoke, you are bearing commandments. It says that my commandments are not grievous. His yoke is not grievous. His commandments are not grievous. If you are not keeping commandments in the days of your youth, I don't know what you are going to reap in the days when the evil days come and you don't have answer. You would go and pass like every other way. So I'm just saying that, you know, the yoke is, you know, the body of commandments, you know, being outlined, the dealings of the Lord over a soul, you know, to prevent a soul from hastening into corruption and to allow a soul to end up in God. Thank you so much.
Wow. Thank you, sir. By now, we know that. We know there are some of us when you hear yoke, You already think enemies of my father's house. It's not that yoke now. So we are seeing that we are getting light on this matter. Daddy Elvis, I think you should push us further again.
Thank you so much. One thing we must know in talking about yoke, we must first of all know that we don't own ourselves. Our soul is purchased. That must be done in us. You must know you don't own yourself. You know, it's very, very hard. I know myself. You don't know me. You want me to show you who I am? We must come to a place we know that our soul, my soul, I don't own it. It was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you buy something, you are buying it for a use. You don't buy something just buying sake. You must have an intention. Or can you just go to market and go and be buying without a need? No. There is a need in your heart before you go and buy something. So there was a need in God's heart before he went to buy your soul. So your soul was paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. So you must come to that reality that I don't own my soul. But this soul that you have, Satan is after it. Though it was bought blood of Jesus Christ, Satan is after it. And God too is after it. Satan knows that this soul is precious. And God too knows that this soul is precious. So you are a battle line, a battlefield. You are a treasure that two beings are looking for. And Satan went ahead of God in your life as you are growing to sow a seed in you. Satan sowed seed in you unknowingly. You are growing with that seed. Sometimes you don't even know. That's why I say you must come to a place that you know that you are not the owner of your soul. Someone is after your soul. Even whether you like it or not, you sleep, you wake up, someone is after your soul. Someone is after your soul. Satan, no. I'm not talking about the enemy of your house, but Satan is after your soul. You know, Satan went ahead to sow seed in us. That's why sometimes you are sleeping, you are waking up. You don't know how some dreams came into your heart. Some vision came into your heart. Some thoughts came into your heart. Some ambition. You don't know that the enemy has gone to sow seed while you were sleeping. This world, your parents, your teacher, the musicians you hear, everything is after your soul. To sow into that soul. So sometimes you just come. You are having an ambition you want to travel out. You don't know where it's coming from. You think it's from you. It's not you. Sometimes you are having ambition of, you know, degree. Is it not good to have degree? It's good. But you have ambition for degree. You have ambition for marriage. You have ambition for ministry. You have so much ambitions. So much dream. So much vision. Sometimes you have ambition that this is the type of car I want to get when I'm growing up. Sometimes you have ambition that I don't want to even stay in Nigeria, Tibaje. Those ambitions, those dreams, those things, you are having ambition that this Bariga, you know, Bagada, Anthony, no, I want to stay in Badala Island. You see, are you so ambitious? Satan put it there. Some of you, there is ambition of quick money. Some youth are there. Some of them are playing Narabet. They want to, you know, sometimes you just sleep, you just see, you know, Satan is using your imaginations and your mind. You just see that quick of Jariba, quick of Jabola, money just for that. Have you not happened to you before? Don't pretend. You just have imaginations. I'm going that maybe they are just pushing one thief. Bah, 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 and the thief just dropped the money before me and started running. And I carry the money and put it inside my motor and I'm going. Satan is fueling your ambition. And one day you just had this narrative. If I put 20,000 before you know it, back, I just wake up in the morning and the whole thing has clicked and I'm winning 10 million. You know, you want to talk God to fast money. Those ambitions are there. But actually, do you know that Satan that put those ambitions, those things are load to the soul. They are loads. So when you talk about, when you talk about yoke is sometimes, like Mom Karina said, it's like a wood that is framed to put two animals together to make them carry a heavy load that one animal cannot carry. You yoke two animals together with a wood, frame it together, yoke them, then put a load that only one of those animals could not carry. And they put the load. So what they do is that Satan begins to load you with ambition, dreams, everything that is of him, deceive you. Then what happens? He begins to yoke you with the flesh to bring that ambition into reality. He yoke you with the flesh. So you will see yourself, you're having ambition, so when they are teaching the word, you are not even hearing it. Everything they are teaching, you are not hearing it. It will not take the Holy Ghost, God, to come and begin to send the word of God into you. When they begin to send the word of God into you, that time you will begin to see that the reason of the word, tribulations and trials will begin to come. Why? They want to tamper with that yoke that is already in you. They want to tamper with that ambition, with that dream, everything that is in you. They want to tamper with it. So the word of God, when it's coming, it will come with tribulation. That tribulation is because, why? Satan is sometimes brings to tribulation. He doesn't want you to go out of his yoke. So sometimes you will send your applications for job. 10 times, they will not receive it. You will do this thing. You will write exam 5 times. You will not pass. It's not that you are not going to pass your exam. So I'm just saying some things. But sometimes tribulations will come. And Satan is bringing those tribulations to make you stay in his yoke. So, but God will send his word. And God will now begin to yoke you with the Holy Ghost. Because he knows on your own, you cannot obey the instructions that Mam Karina said. Those commandments, those disciplines that Mam Karina said, you can't do it on your own. They have to yoke you with the Holy Ghost to be able to carry those loads.
Thank you so much, sir.
Okay, so, when Mama Cass was speaking, when she mentioned our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, the moment we read at age 12, Father's Business, the next thing we learned is that God ensured he became subject to his parents, right? So we may say Bible did not tell us what Jesus was doing from 12 to 30. They told us a lot of things. They just summarized it into subjection. So is he doing carpentry? Is subjection. Is he washing plates? Is subjection. So he used those years to learn subjection. So by the time you saw that man age 30 and he had a lot of liberty to do the will of God, it's not because he was a special Jesus. That was 18 years of exercise of subjection that you saw. And we can capture that as the days of his own youth also.
Hallelujah. Wow. Wow. You know, I was also saying from Matthew 11:28, it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, they carry load put for you, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. This is Jesus speaking. It means say, Jesus, get yoke. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke, he said, my yoke, I have yoke, sir, is easy and my burden is light. Meaning you won't learn him if they don't put yoke on you. Daddy will push us forward, but I just want to also, you know, open up some things that Daddy should also help us look into. For example, now, that's Lamentation still was talking about quietness, silence, you know, wait, stillness. Is it that their personal yoke, general yoke? Is it that, am I supposed to be in solitude? Am I supposed to be a lone ranger? You know, what exactly does, you know, yoke have to do with, you know, their personal thing? You know, and, you know, I think you just open it up more for us, Daddy.
Thank you so much. Normally, yoke is a tool you use to pair and join two beasts to one. Yoke is applied when there are differential in strength. Yoke is applied when there are differential in height. Yoke is applied when there are differential in stature. So, yoke is to bring two distinct strength, stature, height, in becoming one rhythm and harmony. For you to be able to bring, to make two different things that have different things, to make them, they now have one single harmony and rhythm. So they apply yoke. So yoke is reculturing. Yoke is retraining. It's to reculture. Because they say, where a beast, each beast take their step and walk. But when you put yoke, the two of them will walk in the same rhythm. And they will carry out the weight. Also, yoke is sharing weight. You want to share weight. You don't want to put the weight on one. So yoke is a pair. You pair two things together. Though they have different strengths, they have different status, they have different heights. Yoke will do something. It will cause them to have one rhythm and one harmony. And why is necessary? So yoke simply means retraining you. To train you. When they are training you, and that's what they did to Jesus Christ. He's pairing together to be able to cause harmony, oneness, and the same rhythm. If you don't carry yoke, you won't beat. Your heart will not beat like God's heart. If I don't carry yoke, I won't hunger the way God hungers. If I don't carry yoke, I won't see the way God sees. If I don't carry yoke, so yoke is the will of God. I can't do the will of God without yoke. Yoke are restriction, training, everyone subjecting me to where I can have the same taste ball. I can have the same heart. I can have the same heart like God. I can carry the burden of God. Without yoke, I'm able to share the burden of the heart of God. So what yoke does mean? Yoke is applied to me. Training of the spirit, subjecting me. I can say, that's why you can see somebody. If someone says, the person is weak, let him come under yoke. He will develop strength. You can see some people say, this girl look weak. But it is a train. They will train you to be able to be like the Lord. Or a man has an habit. A character. I say, that is character. No, God has not bear yoke. When he bears yoke, that thing you won't find it again. He will evil up. So it's E-V-E-N. He will even him up to be like what the Lord has in mind. So time yoke is to pair us up. Just like Pastor said, we all have yoke of bondage. That means Satan yoke our soul to flesh. So more than they will yoke us to the training and the dealing of the Spirit of the Lord. True doctrine to God's word, until the word we evil up and we're able to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. When you are going through that, you can be complaining. Or you can be distracted. You can be saying, am I the only one? Why is everybody, like what happened to David? David was a ruddy boy, handsome boy, but just taking care of David's sheep. And a prophet, he was not designed true. The prophet came and poured oil. And the poured oil. From that day, he started another training. They had to send him to palace. When he was in palace, he was had to go through a yoke to walk upon his heart. When eventually he left him, he went to Ziklag and was Ziklag 13 or 17 years, running for his life. But in that place, they were training him. That was where he got all the training, all the psalms. That he got. Heaven was trying to heave him up to be like the Lord. To be his heart, to be God say, I have found David, a man after my heart. When did a man get the heart of God? It was when the body's yoke. When it came under the training of the spirit. This, when you are carrying of your yoke, is different from learning Bible. The time to learn Bible is the time you sit down to hear what. When the time for you to bear yoke is a time that heaven zero down on you. Heaven zeroed down on a matter. Heaven zeroed down on an issue of your life. And oftentimes we see as if heaven surrounds you that if you don't pass this thing, you're not going to enter to the next level. When you are in yoke season, it's a time that you can try everything. You will do many things, but they will not click. Because you are in the season of bearing your yoke. What's supposed to do that? You bear it. You bear it justfully, not murmuring. Yeah, you may. Some people are in pieces of yoke. They want to carry it. They want to yank it off. If you by strength or strength, you put it away, you have only postponed the evil day. So in that season, you're supposed to be silent. Let him do his work. Let patience have his deep work. Let brokenness have his deep work. God is on you. God is on you. God is hammering on a matter. Pay attention. Don't use excitement to come out of it. Let that thing take deep. Let it have a deep root over the man. Let that thing be a deep work of rooting in your soul. Thing that they want to break out. Stone they want to bring out of you, let it break out. Thing that they want to peck inside of you. Let heaven carry it out. Like when Jesus Christ was upon the cross and it seems that he was in total abandonment. This is a being that he has never in his life been separated from God. God was in heaven, but he was separated. Jesus Christ doesn't know himself when he was in the womb. Since the day he was in the womb, Holy Ghost was with his mother. He grew up with Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost was upon Mary. But one time in life, there was a 12-hour gap that God was there, but Jesus could once feel who God is. When you go through the test of your life, and it seems as if God abandoned you, you see that you are in loneliness. You are lowly in your soul. It seems that you are in anguish. Where it seems you have been abandoned. But you're not abandoned. Paul said, it seems I've cast down. Those are the seasons of your yoke bearing. It's not the time you're hearing the Bible. It's not the time you are sharing. When a man is having yoke, he does not have energy to share. Yeah. When you are still sharing, you are not carrying yoke yet. When beast is yoke, when you are instead of yoke, you are doing the work of God. Or God is doing his work inside of you. When they yoke an animal, it's a season that you are carrying out labor. Labor. When they call it, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. It's a time you are doing labor for your soul. So after that, your soul can evil up. Your soul can have the same rhythm, can have the same harmony, can have the same alignment with the heart of the Lord.
Wow. Hallelujah. You know, it seems to me like, you know, someone will be like, now marriage singles will come, or, you know, but that is started with the issue of peering. Most of us want to be peered, but we don't want to take yoke, want to enter that next season. But you don't want to go through the first season of yoking. Hallelujah. You know, so let's go a bit further on the issue of relationships. You know, in the book of Philippians 4 verse 3, it said, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. And this was Apostle Paul. So, you know, before a brother will start writing, my yoke fellow, to his sister, you know, are there relationships? Are there friendships? Are there relationships that we should cultivate or that can help us, you know, in this season? You know, like you said, yes, it's a time of silence. It's a time of waiting. Are there relationships that we can cultivate to help us in this kind of season of our life? Now, Apostle Paul, he was at a point to say, I'm a bond servant, you know, I'm on that, you know. He went to the prison and all of that, but he still had men around him. And one of the men was the one who was calling my true yoke fellow. I think, Pastor Femi.
Thank you very much, Daddy. Thank you so much, Pastor Dayo. My heart is just going to Daddy, really, you know. Being under the different times where Daddy, we've had the privilege, you know, to have access into some of Daddy's journey, right? And how evidently we could see how Daddy was able to bear his yoke in the days of his youth. You know, sometimes when Daddy's saying 1999, you just calculate that. Daddy has started doing this thing since 1999. So you see how age over time Daddy has used. And in the midst of that, you will hear Daddy talk about many covenant relationships that came out of that season, right? You also see, was it John, when he was writing in the book of Revelation, one thing that you will discover was evident with him was that he had yoke fellow. He didn't just say, I'm your brother. He also said, I'm your companion. No, you can have brothers that are not companion, meaning they've not participated in your dealings. And it's not bad. But one thing that is going to be very profitable, you know, as younger ones in our youth, is that heaven will always seek to yoke us together with brothers who are not just brother by because we congregate around the same truth or doctrine, but they are also companion. That companion means they participate. You say, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. So these are not just ordinary brothers. These were not just brothers that they learned together. These were brothers that they had gone through things together. So when you see yoke fellow, there has been participation. That's why I think this also can even flow to the emphasis in the house, discipleship, household. It's not going to be very profitable for you to be a brother, a sister, who's going in and out is not before the face of any of your brethren. None of your brother or your sister is able to share in your process. Nobody is able to share or participate. In Corinthians also, you see Paul also saying the same thing. You know, when he was talking about do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Then he went forward to begin to x-ray what yoking will do. He said, what fellowship? What communion? What concord? Then he ended it in what part? Because before a brother is going to have been able to take a part in you, there would have been fellowship. There would have been communion. Before you come to concord, agreement, before you eventually come to a place where that brother or that sister has a part, and it's a blessing that I believe heaven will always want to arrange around each and every one of us as we go on. You know, brothers and sisters who participate. So you cannot just say, I also believe the same things you believe, but nobody has shared in your process. Sharing your process is not just you relating your process. It means they participated. You also see it, yes, you know, in the book of Acts, when they wanted to choose who was going to be replacing the bishopric of Judas, they didn't just choose anybody that Jesus could appear to. I mean, Jesus appeared to Paul, but Paul, by their appearance, could not still qualify for that allocation. The criteria of that allocation, they say you have to look for somebody who has been with us since before Jordan. The person has gone in and out among us since the days that the Lord Jesus walked. Why did they need such a criteria? Why didn't they just put Paul to take part of that allocation? Because Paul had appearances, but that appearance was not sufficient. They needed somebody who has done the in and out. You know, and personally, from my own experience, you know, I feel I've also had the privilege of having some friends, you know, that, you know, I was telling Pastor Dayo that some of those friends, if, for example, they wake up as early as 3 a.m. or 4 a.m., right, to prepare a very special, maybe it's a very special location, and they labor, they finish cooking around 11:30 a.m., and they dish the food, and I call them and say, ah, my brother or my sister, there is a very serious issue. I need you to join together with me in fasting. I trust them enough that even when they're about to take the first one, I know they will drop it down. Because we've had the privilege of sharing life together, sharing different seasons together. You know, lastly, you know, I remember maybe just some testimony in the house. I think about 2 or 3 years ago, I remember there was a particular meeting we had in the night. You know, then after that meeting, and one other person, they just called me. We sat down on the grass outside and they were confronting me with some issues. You know, it was about a decision I was going to make. But in my heart, that was the day I knew I had a commitment of friendship in them. Because that was the day I discovered that I had brothers who can confront me when they were not sure in the direction I'm going. It's not just something I would have done and just related with them. And we need those kind of relationships, especially in the days of our youth. If not, by the time you keep going and going and you come to certain years and you don't have people who have shared, it's not just word and revelation. maybe they call and they speak revelation. You know, those things, what they do is they create yoke fellows. They create kinship spirit. They knit you together. For my brothers, that was the day in my heart I knew I crossed in my relationship with them. Because I knew if they could do this, I knew I could trust them enough to be able to confront me. In that instant, I discovered that I had a safety. I had brethren, I had brothers, you know, that I know I can anchor. And I was telling my wife, there are some persons, you know, that before you report me to daddy, maybe you are saying something, I'm not hearing. They are my brothers that if you feel I'm not hearing, you can speak to them. I trust them enough to be able to speak to me. Then maybe if I'm not hearing them, then I'm in an ICU face, then you can please go and escalate to daddy. So I believe those are seasons, you know, where we need to be able to have true yoke fellows, even among friends, you know, and in relationships. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, BFM. Mama Kari, I think you should also share if you have personal experiences and also maybe an example from scripture, either ways. And I think that the obvious two would also, then daddy will round up for us.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you, BFM. That was a blessing. I think the scripture that came to heart as it was speaking, a number of things were just coming to my mind, but you know, where Jesus was speaking to the disciples and he called them friends, right? For the first time, it was in John 15. It says that ye are my friends. Okay, let me start from 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Right? I just see that as a definition of friendship that Jesus gave, that he got to a point where he could call them his friends, because all things that his Father, you know, committed unto him, he could make known unto him. So what PFM was just saying, you know, also just, you know, corroborated that, you know, you are living your life, and people don't know the things about you. You are living your life. Maybe you are in a household, or you are, you know, in a community of friends. You are in a cell community. That's the best time to make friends. Household. So many platforms where you can make friends. Covenant friends that, you know, that will be there for you. Right? In the day of adversity, Jesus says that woe to him that is alone. Because when adversity comes, there will be no one to run to. He says, woe to anyone that is alone. So if you are a loner, scripture is saying that woe to you. So you had better make friends, and not just surface level friends, not just friends that is only the good times that you give them update of the good things. Even when you are erring, you be accountable to them. A friend is that person that you can talk and say, I think I spoke too much. Please just correct me where I need to be. A friend is someone who can put you in order. And we see the example in scripture as well. We see David and Jonathan. We saw in the days of David's tribulation, even with his father, Jonathan's father, Jonathan even showed more allegiance to David than to his father. You know, that was a true yoke fellow. David was in a season where, imagine if Jonathan was not in the picture. In fact, there was a time that Jonathan even went to plead David's cause in front of Saul. So that's who a friend is. We see people like Elizabeth and Mary also. Mommy spoke a lot about Mary. Immediately, the angel brought that word to Mary. They said she hastily went to Elizabeth. Imagine she didn't have Elizabeth. Maybe David would have brought thoughts on how maybe it's not true, these words, maybe thought of shame. She had to stay there for 3 months. I wonder what Elizabeth was pouring into her in those 3 months. Can we go to that scripture just very quickly? I want to just bring out that word I said hastily. When I saw it, I was like, what was so urgent that she needed to just go immediately? Luke chapter 1, verse 39. After the encounter of the angel with Mary, and Mary said, behold the handmaiden of the Lord, and the angel departed from her. What was the next thing in verse 39? And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste. He says what? With haste into the city of Judea. And entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, spake with a loud voice. So look at the things Elizabeth began to say. She now said in verse 45 that, blessed is she that believeth. This was Elizabeth, it wasn't Mary. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. So imagine if Mary had not even gone to Elizabeth. She didn't have a friend. And Elizabeth was not her age mate. I hope you know that Zachariah and Elizabeth had waited for years. They were stricken in age. So you can even have friends, you know, vertically. You can have friends down with daddy and mommy. We've learned this from them over and over. I heard this maybe from mommy for the first time. And then you can have friends vertically on your level. So friendship is something that is a place where everyone in this journey of being yoked, you need friends, right? You need friends to be, you should not use your own friendship for malice, for gossip. See what people are in their friendship for. That man with his friends, Jesus was preaching. There was nowhere for them to bring him. They brought him through the roof. I'm very sure it was his friends that brought him. Have people that, even when you can't walk, he had a palsy, he couldn't walk, they will lift you up through any means to make sure that you get solution. There's a problem. They brought him to Jesus. His own friends were pushing him towards Jesus. Your friends, where are they pushing you towards? Are they covering your darkness, helping you to pamper? You don't worry, you're fine. You're telling a friend that I have this infirmity. Say, don't worry, it's fine. We are all facing it. They are supposed to expose darkness, ensure that, you know, you help that friend. You point that friend to Jesus. If you have friends that are not pointing you to Jesus, you need to audit your carcass of friends. You need friends who can take you to the Lord. You know, we saw Elizabeth, you know, friends that can lead us to promise, friends that you can talk to and they will speak the truth to you. It says that a friend, when you get to a place of friendship, is a place of laying down one's life. When you are really friends with somebody, I was also thinking about it, that friendship is a place where there are some, if you are really friends with somebody, some things will not remain. Like jealousy, if you call somebody your friend and the person gets something that you don't get, what do you feel in your heart? Do you still feel anger or jealousy coming up? That person is not your friend. Maybe two of you applied for a job, the person got the job, you didn't get it, and you are feeling jealous of that person. That person is not, you have not come to a place of friendship yet. That's the test. A friend is somebody that even when they get something, you are rejoicing for them. You are happy for them. Your heart is pure towards your friend. Your friend is like a home. So I'm just saying that we all need friendships. We need communal friendship. Without friendships, you know, we cannot journey. I remember, you know, back then, when I got born again, and then, you know, we had a friend that was just, you know, she was just on fire for the Lord, and we're all born again, but we didn't speak in tongues. I didn't know then that everybody could speak in tongues. I just thought, because I would just hear pastors sometimes in the middle of prayer, they just add more tongue, and then they go back to English, and I didn't really grow up in a Pentecostal environment, so I didn't know much about tongues or anything. So she was the first person I heard. And then we were all together, and then we were monitoring each other, our growth. You know, when we gave our life to Christ, we'll pray, we'll see ourselves, we'll pray in the morning, we'll mark ourselves, devotion done. This one, we'll talk about what we did in devotion. And then suddenly, after like 2-3 weeks, she just came back one day and she was speaking in tongues. And the anger, the jealousy that rose up within me was like, we're all here together speaking English. When did you start speaking in tongues? Right? And then she now told us the very next day, she said there were some sets of sisters that were praying downstairs in the hostel that we need to go there to also be baptized and speak in tongues. Imagine if I didn't come near myself with those people. Maybe I got into school and I chose, you know, a different set of people. She took us there, we were baptized. In fact, we spoke in tongues, we blasted. We blasted maybe for the whole night, the next day, you know, and that was, you know, some of the first places where we even, you know, caught, you know, the little fire, or the little works that we did when we were in school. It was those foundational days, and it was a friend that led us to that place. So friends, you know, are very important in the journey.
Hallelujah. This is a junction you get to, and you have to be very, very alert. This is a very serious junction. This can determine how long and how far you can go in this life. If you dare make mistake here, you are gone. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. You know, you can labor and you have reward. But this one, good reward. For if they fail, if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he had not another to help him up. Why many have fallen from this path is because they didn't have real friends. They didn't have real friends in the community. And you cannot be alone. You see, that anytime you begin to murmur against everybody, and say, I don't know what they are doing. So every time they are sidelining me, that nobody loves me. That's Satan. Offense. That's when offense begins to come in. When you think that everybody is sidelining you, nobody loves you, nobody do this thing, you have to take time. That's your fall that is coming. We have to come to a place whereby you, by the Holy Ghost, allow God to channel you to someone who can be your covenant friend. We are not talking about, you know, coming to a carcass. We are not saying carcass. All of us, we are brethren. Yeah. Everybody's brethren. Yeah. You know, where it becomes carcass is that maybe you have a covenant friend now, and Holy Ghost is telling you, and you are in a department, you are the leader, and Holy Ghost is telling you, this is the person fit for this leading opportunity that I want to do. And because you have a covenant friend, it shall line your hearing of the Holy Ghost. That's when it becomes carcass. You are not doing well. It becomes covenant and pure when you submit it under the leading of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost helped me time. You know the template he gave to me? He gave me the template of anybody. You know, Peter was saying something. Submit yourself to elders and be subject to one another. Holy Ghost gave me that template right from time. He said, you know, anytime, 90% of your Christian work is done by submitting to authority. He said, the remaining 10, if you can finish it, you are good. And that has been my template. So I choose my friends, my covenant friends, according to that template. Moment I see you, you talk against authority, I move. You will come to me, and you begin to say, see what authority. As I'm hearing you, I'm watching you, I'm monitoring your face. I say, this is the last time you will see me and you again together. And it has kept me. Many have parted from this path just by what? By communication, evil communication. And sometimes it's not they're not the owner of the offense. Someone is just offended. And he carried the offense and pour on you. And you carry the offense to yourself, you leave. That's why you need covenant friends. So, and you must allow the Holy Ghost to lead you to covenant friends. And the Holy Ghost can lead you. And when you see that you are not getting covenant friends, you yourself consciously make effort to get covenant friends. God will introduce you to covenant friends. Those were one of those covenant friends I had in those days. Pastor Charles, honor her. He was someone that helped me, provoked me to what? To godliness. He was one that introduced me to books today. He started long time. Kenneth Hagin. Andrew Woman. All those books. He will just call up a service. Do you know that we have books? That this book just came out. We will pack those books. We'll be studying together. We'll be reading books together. We go to ADC. ADC near Yabatek. We go there. We go. That place is a bookshop, but you can stay from maybe from 8 to around 4 or 6. 12 o'clock, they will have a break. You join them to their prayer. You will read any book. That's where I read Watchman Nee, The Spiritual Man, Normal Man, Breaking of the Man. That's where I read all those books. ADC. Pastor Charles will just come and carry me. Let's go. We'll go. How I even opened up to the prophetic was Pastor Charles. I was selfish to myself. I'll be praying for myself every time. Pastor Charles will come. There's a sister. He has a problem. This one. We need to know what to do. What is it? We will just go. Ba, ba, ba. I will just open. Eyes will open. I will just see that case. I will say, this is what I'm seeing. This one. After again, he will come another day. Tomorrow, he will just. That's how he was calling me. I was praying for people. I was praying for. I don't know that was activation of the prophetic in me. He opened me up. By doing charity to others. And all the cases Pastor Charles is bringing is not his own case. They are cases of brethren. I will be praying as we are praying. I don't know it was moving me to jealousy. It was after that I began to say, okay, this thing is special. I don't know. But that is how you need to connect to a covenant friend, a covenant brother. If you don't do that, a wind will come and take you off. And the funniest thing is that, daddy, wind comes, ceases. It's like it rolls. It goes round. And every time it does it, I see it always carry people away. When that wind is coming, I say, hey, wind, it is day. Ah! When that wind comes, it can be just one brother. It's not every Christian that is your covenant friend that is born again. You have to be smarter than that now. You must be smarter than that now. That's why I say put template. That is born again does not mean that he will not put you into trouble. When he begins to come and accuse another brother before you, see this brother, this one, know it's a red flag. And you begin to align yourself and begin to take yourself out. Those things are what kept me. And you know one thing? Fellowships, they know each other. The one that is not working rightly, they know. And those ones that are against authority, they will not come to you. They didn't come to me. Why? They saw that I'm someone that put authority above everything. That's why you must make your stand known. Because they know each other. That's why when they are going, they can go in 5, 6. Why? Because they connect to each other. This person has envy. This person does not submit to authority. He will hear what I'm going to say. And will come. They will toast each other. And before you know, they will just move them away. So you must come to that place whereby you yoke yourself with someone. Make someone your brother. And you subject yourself. When they say subject, subject is that you purposely in your heart tell that brother intentionally your fault, what you are going through, and allow his counsel also to be. And also put elders that are above you. Then you learn to daddy. You know, sometimes I saw someone that came and came with the mother. And the lady said, the mother said, my daughter wants to marry. You understand? The daughter wants to marry. And I told the daughter, why is your daughter going far, trying to go and marry? Why is she not coming around the brethren and get someone between the brethren? We have brethren, this water and everything. Why is she going around? Why is she going far? I was just talking to them, praying. Bah, 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 bah. Boom! My eyes opened. I just saw someone that removed his shoe, red shoe, and he was wearing gown, and he was chasing the car, and the man was in the car, driving off, and she was chasing car. Flower, throw flower away, was chasing car to catch. You know, when you have finished marriage, and your husband is driving off, and you remove shoe, throw away, and you are chasing your husband. Hey! Immediately I saw it and shouted, yeah. Mommy, no. The lady was offended in me. But the mother said, she will go for service. The lady was offended in me. She didn't greet me again. I went to the mother. I said, mommy, don't be annoyed. I just don't know. That's what I saw. Please, mommy, forgive me. Please. That's how she married that guy. And she said, the guy is a pastor. He's a pastor. I said, forget pastor. He said, he's a pastor. And do you know what? That marriage did not last 1 year. The lady got pregnant. She gave birth. Papa, but that's 1 year, 2 months, or 3 months. Because she gave birth. She got pregnant immediately and she gave birth. And the lady, they chased the lady away. The guy chased the lady. The lady came back. The mother now told me that, do you know that since they were married, they did not bring 1 yam for her. 1 naira was not sent to her. 1 naira, and they sent the lady back with the baby. And she now came to me and said, Pastor, this one, the mother begged me. I said, God beg. Till today, she married the second one out, third one out. You know, when you miss, when you come to daddy, you don't know that it's a spirit resting on them. It's a spirit. They are watchers in the spirit. That thing will just let her, it will just tell you, but no, you don't know what he saw. It will just tell you no. But this one, I even tell her what I saw. I said, Maria, we'll start it to the motto.
Thank you so much, Pastor. If you're looking at the word of fellow yoke in relationship, friends that are fellow yoke bearer, look at, they call the friends of Job. And when you look at Job, Job won't have the younger one apart of his friend. Eliu. He said, let the aged speak. So Job has friends that are far, far younger in age, more than him. So Eliu was very young. He said, let the aged speak. So in the four friends of Job, Eli was one of the youngest, but he's a friend of Job. Wow. You are wise. You will not build friendship in your contemporary alone. People that unbelievers that don't have wisdom, they don't have guardians, can build friends and miss themselves alone. Yoruba has said that if you know how to wash your feet, you're able to hit with the elders. They say when you behave yourself, they will bring you closer. Yeah. But when you are foolish, they put you aside. Yeah. They won't allow you to come and then say, this one is foolish. This one just do gara gara gara. Trouble of everything. There's no, no. That's how you must be wise. You must pay for wisdom. That was the plot thing that put Rehoboam into trouble. He took his friends. That's why your friend can't put in trouble. He lost 10 kingdoms. That kingdom was meant to be with him. But because he took the counsel on young people, made that grow up with him. So you saw Job. How do you have your friend about when you are in trouble? What would that bail you out? Not baby was money. When you have issues, Job lost his children, lost his friend, kid. I say when they saw him, I would say for the first 7 days they wept. They came to him and stayed, and they were not eating. 7 days come fasting. They said they saw him from afar. Is that our bread? Is that our friend? They started crying for 7 days. That was nobody opened their mouth for 7 days. They were just crying. Crying. They sat down with Job and cry and cry. Then Job started talking. They allowed Job to talk. Even in friendship, you must know how to relate. They allowed Job to talk. Those things are born out of years of what you have gone together. You see, they wept and they allowed Job to speak. That Job spoke almost 3 chapters. Then the elder started talking. Eli would just listen to them until 34. And as I've said, let the age talk. They will finish talking. Job will talk. Then they reply him back. Can you see? They were talking to each other. Talking to each other. Talking to him. Then Eli will allow them to talk. All the four friends. Then Eli will say in 32. And against his three friends were his wrath kindled. Elihu can do because they have found no answer and yet are condemned Job. Now, Elihu had waited till Job had spoken because they were elder than him. And when Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. Then, and Elihu, the son of Abijah, the Buzah, answered and said, I am young, but you are very old. Wherefore, I was afraid and does not show you my own opinion. I said, they should speak. A multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man. And the spirit of the Almighty giveth him understanding. You see, you can have depths. That's why this series of this year is that you must have roots in yourself. That you are young does not mean that you can't talk with elders. Once I'm trusting the Lord, that the Lord will bring every single in this church that you are going to have roots in yourself. You are going to submit yourself to the yoke. You're going to submit and put your neck for God to dip you deep. I don't mind swag. You know me. I want to be swaggy. I want it to be everything. I want to have your nail pedicure money. I want it. I don't want it to be, you know, but I want to have people that have substance. And you have your work. You have a relationship. That is deep. You're not just shallow. You saw this is Job. You also find Job has a friend by the name Lazarus. When Lazarus died, he said, if a joker said, just say, our friend. Yeah. Lazarus was not just a friend. Lazarus be friend with Jesus and be friend with the rest of the 12 disciples. So joker said, our friend Lazarus is sick. When he got there, and this thing said it, and after he said, our friend Lazarus sleeped. But let us go. But I go that I may awake him. Then said his disciple, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Say, he says, sleeping now. Why do you want to go out there? He's our friend. You could see because they have friendship. The way he talked about it, they say he was there. In this life, you know, when you want to break, when someone died, your friend, there's a way you go about it, carefulness. Because you know, if you are breaking death of a stranger, you say it. Ah, they say somebody, they killed 10 people. But when you want to break a friend, that way, you know, you are careful about it. You are going to, Joker was going to manage that because you know, all of them can break down and start crying there. That's why he said, our friend is sleeping. He didn't want to come that day. He doesn't have to touch them. They have eaten his food. They have slept in his house. They have enjoyed him. So when he got to the tomb of Lazarus, and Jesus wept. There was only place that they said Jesus wept. Because he wept for his friend that death came to take from. That Satan, I don't have much friend. This only one said death came to take him from me. He wept. Deals are things. So friendship in Ukraine is that people are able to go through things to you. That deep experience. It's a lot on the inside. But thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Daddy. Thank you, Pastor Elvis. Thank you, Pastor Femi. Thank you, Mama Carrie. I think at this point we should call it a day.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.